Why, you beady-eyed! The
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make a do with a do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the serious side of the Jay Rowe Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Streaming live on the JT Network and as well the TJRS Radio Network. You can have them to click it or they can call 718-766-4227 so they can talk to me live or also to listen. Before we get into the show tonight, there are some great, great things going on. You're going to hear a commercial just shortly here. There's going to be a battle here in Detroit at the Opera House between the Dramatics and the Temptations. Should be exciting. Should be very, very, very exciting. And also, I want you to know that there is an upcoming event, actually, coming up on March 30th. We have March 29th is the battle between the Dramatics and also the Temptations. And then we have on March 30th, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal event being put on by Mr. Herb Strather. And that is going to be on March 30th all day as he has started a movement to re-engineer Detroit. So we want you to click it on StratherAcademy.com to find out information about that. And then, of course, don't forget, as Bountiful Opportunities Group, the nonprofit organization in which the True Purpose Development Show is sponsored, we want you to know that we are a part of this movement of re-engineering Detroit. We know that it's possible, and it takes you to join the team because we can't do it alone. I want you to click it at StratherAcademy.com. Don't forget to visit BountifulGroup.com, where you'll find out all of the information about the Global World Peace True Purpose Movement and True Purpose Tour. Yes, this year is going to be another phenomenal year as we head out and get started to help bring billions realize their life's true purpose. Listen, we're going to go right into our commercial, and then we're going to listen to one of the great songs from LJ, and then we've got LJ right after that. So listen, tell everybody, get online right now. Get on your phone. We'll be right back after this.
Motor City Hits presents the Battle of the Old School. You be the judge. Who's the hottest? The Dramatic? The Dramatic featuring LJ Reynolds. Edwards and the Temptations Review. Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review. Against the Dramatic. Featuring LJ Reynolds.
Girl, I give you everything.
March 29th in the Opera House. Tickets on sale now at the Opera House box office and Ticketmaster. March 29th in the Opera House. The Battle of the Old School, live in the Detroit Opera House. You be the judge. Who's the hottest? The Dramatic? Or Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review? Brought to you by Rollo Ford.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
Yes, yes, in case you're just tuning in tonight, we are live here with L.J. Reynolds. You've got it, L.J. Reynolds of the Dramatics. Just to give you a little bit about Mr. L.J. before we get started, L.J. Reynolds started back in the 60s in the music industry. He had some great singles in the early 60s when he was recording for Tri-Spin. He moved to mainstream in 1969 when he was lead vocalist for The Relations in 1970. These are all my years. And then after cutting singles for several small independents and landing one Lawton single in the R&B Top 30, Let One Hurt Do in 1971, Reynolds replaced William Howard in the Dramatics in 1973, remaining with them actually until now, okay? So he has signed deals with Capitol. He's been touring all over the world. And in case you didn't know, hey, Mr. L.J. Reynolds is bringing back the soulful music, and he's still doing it today with his hot single, Key to the World, who has its second chance, Cheating on Me, and his new CD. So we're going to bring in, without any further ado or delay, Mr. L.J. Reynolds.
Hello. Yes, quite an introduction. It made me go back all the way back. But, hey, I can go back even a little bit further than that because initially the way I started off tap dancing with about 30 girls. They were high steppers and stepperettes, and I tap danced with my sisters and those 30 girls, and I was one little guy. I was about 4 or 5 years old when I started, and I did that up until I turned about 10, and I retired from
tap
and went to singing. So, and that sums up the rest of it, is all stuff that you went and gathered up. That's true.
Wow.
Born in Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw, Michigan.
Stevie Wonder was born in Saginaw. And the tennis pro, she was born in Saginaw. Whatever her name is, I can't think of it right now.
So back in the day, because see, I think people, I know I like to box you in with the Motown era, but you corrected me one day and said, no, I was after Motown. But you are from Motown, and dramatically, it all means the same thing.
Well, even when we travel overseas and a lot of the people over in Japan, the Dramatics, Detroit, Motown.
Right.
They associate any act from Detroit from Motown. Not necessarily that they think that they're with Motown, but just that Motown Records was such a great force out of Detroit, until any entertainer from Detroit, you go overseas, you might get that. And that's a great thing, because Motown had a lot of great records out of it. So, and like you say, the Dramatics, we're continuing the mission. We started at Stax Records, and we're in the Stax Hall of Fame. If you go to the Stax Hall of Fame in, what is it, at Memphis? I think it is. Where's the hotel that Dr. King was shot at?
I can't remember the exact name.
I think it was Memphis. But the Hall of Fame is there for Stax Records, and you'll see some of the Dramatic stuff there. But, hey, we've been working for all these years since 1970. We started in 71 with What You See Is What You Get, and we
what
went all the way with...
Wait. How's that go? What You See It's what you said.
Oh, you got it. You know how to do it. And then we did records with rappers. You know, we worked with Ice Cube, Ice-T, Ice Water. No, I know. And we also worked with Snoop Doggy Dogg, which we sold 8 million singles called Doggy Dogg World. And we paid the cost, and then we did the album. The album did about 12 million copies, and the Dramatics were on that. And then we did another record with Snoop called Ballin'. So it was a take from one of our songs called Falling, Fell For You. And you know, just still, and then I ventured out again on my solo stuff as I normally do. You know, I got two gospel CDs. One is called Through the Storm, and another one is The Message. That's
really good
right now.
Excellent CD, by the way.
Well, thank you. I'm flattered. I mean, flattered. But,
Absolutely. But
I'm still in this business. I recorded. What we did, we have a record company called Motor City Hits. Motor City Hits is owned by my business partner, Herb Stravers, and myself. What we did, we have various artists that we had worked with us on this particular first project called Motor City Hits Volume 1. On the Volume 1 CD, we had actually like the Four Tops, the Miracles, Carla Cooks, which is Sam Cooke's daughter. We had the Dramatics. We had L.J. Reynolds, which is myself. We had and some other various artists on this particular record that we recorded. And I talked to all these people. And I said, now, we're going to all put a record out off of this CD. We're going to put this CD out, the Volume 1, and whichever record the disc jockeys like and the people want to put out, we'll release that as a single, and if that comes into the top 20, we'll do an album. Well, everybody turned their records in. We put the record out, Volume 1. You'll be able to go to MotorCityHits.com, and you'll be able to hear the album. It's a great album. People like Keith Washington is on that album. I failed to miss him, too. So he mentioned him, but Keith Washington is on this thing, and a great Smokey Robinson record. So to make a long story short, we released the record to the radio people and promoters, and they picked a song called Come Get to This. That I put on the album as a solo artist, because I got a record as solo artist on this album and one as the Dramatics called Bad Girl, Ron Banks' last live performance that he did on record before his passing. But to make a long story short again, the record came out, it did very well, it went in the top 20, so I rushed in the studio, did an album, it's called Get to This, and from that album we released Cheating on Me, Baby Come Back. And so now we're looking for a new single off the album, and we're getting ready to get back into this record business and then get into other acts as well. We're looking for other acts. You know any female singers that can sing?
Oh, yeah. Hello. Right? Hello. Yeah.
I have to sign you to one of my long-term short money deals. Is that
well,
a great deal?
That's
no,
a great deal. You know what's a great deal?
What?
Just to have an opportunity to sing with such a legendary artist as you. We'll make the deal smooth. You know, I only had an opportunity to sing in the airport with the Temptations.
Oh.
And we did My Girl.
Okay.
So now I have to go live now. I have to go live too. So we're gonna have to make that happen.
Well, I tell you what, we got a couple of great shows coming up. Matter of fact, one here in Detroit. And you in Detroit, we might stick you up there on stage, but we got the show at the Opera House,
okay.
March 29th with the Dramatics and L.J. Reynolds versus Dennis Edwards in the Temptation Review. So we're going to do the battle. We're going to do the battle of the singers right here in Detroit, the Dramatics and the Tempt. So it's going to be just a big show. Maybe you can come up after that and do something there.
I will. Look, don't ask me. Don't put it out there because everyone, now you guys heard this. L.J. Reynolds, he threw it out there that I have an opportunity. Remember what I always say about opportunity? I've been given one, so I'm taking it. So now going back in old day with music, has changed dramatically, okay? And as far as the sales and the way distribution is done, the way the industry plays its game is just different. How has that impacted you and the Dramatics, or you yourself, L.J. Reynolds? How has that influenced your career now?
Well, you know, you have to find other ways of making money to support yourself, because a lot of things dried up. You know, everything has changed, like you said. You know, they used to have the covered wagon, and they went to the train, the iron horse. And from that, they start flying. So you got to be able to change with the time. If not, you won't be able to sustain yourself in this business. And you're right. I mean, you know, music is different, so you have to try to find a way to cut music that radio, your audience would play, which is, you know, my audience is contemporary radio, you know. So I try to reach out at that audience. And then you try to figure out how can you, it used to be a time when the internet came out, they were downloading everything, so people were just taking the records and they wasn't paying for them. You would spend $150,000 on an album and you put it out and you can't sell it because everybody got it. And they got, you know, what they want off of it, but nowadays they have been able to change that with the internet, and we've been able now to get our digital sales and our downloads and have more control of what's happening. And the market dried up. The economical situation caused promoters to back up on concerts. And a lot of entertainers found themselves at home or have to take less money. And if you're not smart enough to take less money, then you might not work. And if you don't work, you don't eat. So you just have to find a way to stay out here. And in my case, I'm about the only artist of my era still probably doing videos, and I've released two great videos, and I'm very proud of them. One of them was the Come Get to This video, which features Clarissa and various steppers and line dancers, and you know, Come Get to This, and then the Cheating on Me video.
Mm-hmm. I love you in that.
It tells the story about cheaters and liars. And it just tells the truth.
Absolutely. Well, I love it. Now, made it through the industry, done a major comeback, and I don't know if you've ever gone anywhere, but as far as we know, this is new to us. I mean, they brought back one of your hits that you did years ago, Peace of the World, and it is the ladies' anthem. So let's talk about that. How did that song come about?
Well, I happened to be recording Key to the World. Now, Key to the World, I think, came out in 1982. And I think it was 82. I did so many records, I can't remember. But it's been a long time ago when I cut that record. And then I went back in the studio and recut it again. But they're currently playing the version that I did, the original version. I had left the Dramatics at that time to pursue a solo career, and we were in the studio recording, and Don Davis told me that I needed to go in and record the album, my portion of the album. So I went home, and I said, well, let me see. I had written songs for the Dramatics before, like Stop Your Weeping and stuff like that, and produced Me and Mrs. Jones and several things and Ron and myself. And so I said, I got to write a song that the whole world would like. I say, that's the key. Get it? I said, I had to write a song. I got to write a song because I wanted to write a record that the world would like. And I said, I got to write a song that the whole world would like. That's the key. And so I said, what key to the world? You know. And so I wrote it. And that's what I'm all about. I'm a storyteller. I wrote Cheating on Me, you know, songs like Cheating on Me. Those are stories. And so it wasn't hard to write a song like that. But I never thought that it would still be going on to this day. And I have people coming up to me in their 20s telling me how much they like that record, and that's one of their favorite records. And you hear it on the radio all over
all
the country.
All the time.
All day.
All the time, I'm telling you.
And thank goodness that I wrote it and have some publishing on it.
Absolutely.
Because
hello.
I won't get any royalties for it because it's been downloaded and low-downed. And it's great that people love it, but they got it. And, you know, and that's the way it is right now. It's almost public domain.
Absolutely, it is. You can actually get it right online.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but you know what? We have to get. We have to direct people to where they need to get it from you, and that's where we have to support.
Well,
so,
as long as they get it, I just want them to get it. And what this looks like, that's another thing you asked about the industry. Entertainers are more focused now on going out and making a living off performing. That's the other way of doing it because our record sales have shrunk. Even before the internet, we had a 15% bootleg of all of our products all over the world. They bootlegged 15 to 20% of every record that came out even back in the 70s. And, you know, they still have bootleggers today. So, but now with the download, that took another 20% of the business. So 35% of the revenue is gone. And so the record company has to get their money back, and then so they've gotten into the concert business, record companies. And that's what Motor City Hits is doing now. We're into the concert business as well, and that what that does is stimulate the market and get the audience to see the artist. If they see the artist, then they'll go buy the downloads because the people don't go out to mom and pop record stores too much often, but there's still a few to buy records, but they usually buy them online or buy the downloads. So.
Wow. I'm telling you, you know, it's great to hear you coming from that air and still holding it on and doing the darn thing. So now in your career though, I mean, did you suffer a lot as far as just in moving forward in your accomplishments, getting to the point where you're actually recognized? Do you remember really having to push over some really tough scenarios to do that? Did it take you long?
Well, you know, I could give you two examples. One is that when I was a kid in New York, struggling to try to put a record out before I did that record, you're talking about Let One Heart Do. I didn't eat for 2 weeks. And I was only 17 years old. I ran out of money in New York. And the 2 weeks before that, I was just eating bread and bologna and, like, lettuce, you know, and mayonnaise. And then I didn't eat for 2 weeks, and all my teeth loosened up in my head, and one fell out.
Uh-uh.
But I still have all of my teeth to this day, but that prompted me to go to a clinic, and for some reason I met somebody after they gave me a B12 shot and fed me and told me I was suffering from malnutrition. Now, this is a kid now.
Wow.
And that was a struggle, and I got past that and put this record out that you mentioned, Let One Hurt Do, and sold 250,000 copies. So that was pretty good, you know.
That's really good.
And the other thing, I can't even remember. That was so. That takes me all the way back. That was so. That was something to be a kid. I would hate to see my kid, 17 years old, in New York City with nothing to eat for 2 weeks. And
But it created you. It brought you to.
It brought me back. It brought me to where I am now. And then the other thing was. When I got with the Dramatics, and I just got out of a group called L.J. Reynolds and the Chocolate Syrup, then I got the Dramatics, and they were arguing in lawsuit over the name, and I became a part of that. And then we had to change the name to Ron Banks and the Dramatics on one or two albums. And then people started calling me Ron Banks. They would, you know, because I was standing there singing most of the lead. And you want to be called your own self, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to be. And I love Ron Banks, I love him to this day. But you know, I wanted people to say, well, that's L.J. Reynolds instead of. So that's one of the reasons why when you hear Key to the World, they say, let's get together and give a big hand to the one and only L. Now that record established who that person is, because a lot of people say, oh, I thought that was Ron Banks. No, that's L.J. Reynolds, and that was on the first single that I did, and it established. But as we went on with the Dramatics, that had already changed a whole lot. But very few people would call me Ron Banks, and that was just something else that I had to overcome and try to establish my own self, in which I did. And since then, I'm straight. No, I want to do it. I plan to do film. I plan to do movies and produce movies and just live until it's time to go.
Man, I think you're doing more than living. And, you know, I was thinking about, okay, 1981, that was a really fabulous time, as a matter of fact. But 1981, when you released Key to the World. Now, then when it was playing, did it get as much airplay back then, or was it kind of quiet then? And now that it's here, it's like, you know, sometimes music, they say, can be released prematurely, or it's just, it's before its time.
I tell you, for that one record, I sold 350,000, 400,000 albums. So, yes, it got the. But what it did was it spotted in markets. In the Bahamas, it was big. In England, it was big. You know, I mean, not just in America. And the record did what I did in a small way, what I was trying to do, which was reach the whole world. And in Detroit, it was big. Detroit, that was a big record. It just kind of disappeared for maybe 10 years, and then it just seemed to resurface. And everybody seemed to like it, and I like it, and I like what they like it, and I like the way they like it. So keep liking it, and I'm going to keep singing it, and that's good. It's
that's
probably
good.
Around long, even long after I'm dead, that record should be playing.
Oh, it will be. It will be forever. That's like heard it through the grapevine.
Right.
You know, just keep playing forever. Now, so what is new with you and also the Dramatics? What's going on today?
Well, you know, what's happened today is the Dramatics is going to always be the Dramatics. You know, you're going to always associate L.J. Reynolds with the Dramatics. And some of the Dramatics have passed on. Some of them had taken other routes, you know, doing other things. L.J. Reynolds and the Dramatics is kind of intertwined. And I plan to do tours with the Dramatics and do plenty of battles. I got another battle with the Dramatics versus the Whispers that'll be in North Carolina March the 9th. So we got Detroit, March the 29th with Dennis Edwards and the Dramatics and L.J. Reynolds, and March the 9th, the battle we got with the Whispers in North Carolina, Dramatics versus the Whispers. And I plan to do much more of that. I plan to do L.J. Reynolds concerts with this new album, Cheating on Me, and Come Get to This. I enjoy standing there sometimes, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I plan to go out and do gospel records, gospel concerts, and I do some of that, which I did 3 months ago when I did California with the Whispers. It was the Whispers and L.J. at that time at the Grove. And then I performed at Bishop Jones, Grace Jones Brothers Church.
Oh, yeah, Bishop Noel Jones.
I performed at his church doing my gospel songs, I Believe You Can Make It. And if you go to my YouTube site or Facebook site and put in L.J. Reynolds Gospel, then, you know, this record will cure you. I didn't say kill you. I said it will cure you from any doubt that whether you can make it or not, because it gives you the inspiration you need to succeed.
We're going to have to play one of your gospel tunes when we have our break. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. I'm telling you, was it difficult? I know you're like, I mean, you're crossing over. You're like secular, and then you're doing the gospel. How does that, do you do just as well on the gospel end as far as your music and distribution?
Hey, don't be surprised. You got to know when to hold it, when to hold it. Know when to fold it, when to fold. See, I can do country, too. And so I just love music. I do what I feel that I can do. And then I do some things for some reason I feel like I can do it all. Just like that video when I did that dancing and all of that and that video. I ain't through. I like to do things that maybe surprise people. You know, I didn't know that you could dance like that or do a video or produce this or do that. I like to do things and then do them good. So I'm constantly figuring out what can I do to entertain. I'm an entertainer. And that's what I do. So I entertain. I want to produce great songs and write good plays and produce good movies. For what? Mm. So I can leave something good. I want to leave something. And then I want to share it, too, because when I look at my videos, well, I want to be able to enjoy them, too. I don't want to look at my videos and say, oh, I was horrible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you're still working. How are you doing?
I am doing, I'm having a ball. I ain't let nobody tell me that I can't do this. Right? That's why I don't go to a record company. I got my own record company.
And do your own thing, and you're doing a darn good job. Well,
that's
I'm telling
right.
you.
God's it from the city in the words of a song. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. So you do what you want to do as long as it's legal and it makes you happy and do the things that, hopefully you can make money off of it.
That is all she said. That is it in a nutshell. You're right. You can make money and you can help people. First, you can help people and you can make money. Inspire people just like you say you do with your music and you've done for decades. So we want to thank you, Mr. Reynolds, for doing everything that you've done. I'm so glad that you decided to come on a True Purpose Development show. And tell us one more time where they can find you on Facebook, your Facebook page, and as well where they can find you in tour.
Well, we have we're working on a brand new tour now, but we've been working on the record portion of what we're doing and getting ready to do another video. But if you go to MotorCityHits.com, it's MotorCityHits.com, you'll be able to learn more about the Dramatics and more about Keith Washington and some of the other acts that we have on the label and the new album and the tour, the upcoming tours, and stuff like that. And like I said, we'll be in Detroit in March, March the 29th, at the Opera House, and we'll be in North Carolina March the 9th. And then our tour starts after that because we're setting up stuff for California and a few other markets. So the agency just contacted me with that. So look forward to seeing us in your town soon.
Absolutely. Now, we have one more thing. You said, now everybody heard, March 29th, I have an opportunity. How about this? Give me a song, sing us just a little tune, and then I can chime in, and that can be my audition.
Si tuviera las llaves del mundo,
¿dónde
lo haría? Y con la llave de tu corazón, puedo hacer un fuego pasar. Now, I don't know how you're going to do that, but if you can sing the battle for that in Spanish, then your mic is going to be set, standing there waiting on you. When you walk through the door, we're going to bring you right on the stage and say, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to stop the show and bring on the princess. And here she is, and you come out like Diana Ross or somebody.
That's not fair.
I'm coming out. That's what you need.
I want the world to know.
That's right.
So, I'm coming up.
There you go.
So do I get the part? I mean, that's what this is all about. I want my part.
Darling, you had the part. You had the part before you even sung.
Oh, wow. Thank you. So, listen, everybody, you're going to see me March 29th at the Opera
House. I'm pretty sure they'll see you there. They might not get to hear you, but they'll sure see you. And if we can make it so they can hear you, even if you have to holler out, ow! There she go. But, in my show, sometimes I do allow people in the audience to participate. So just be on standby.
I'll make sure I'm sitting right on the front row, like the young lady that used to sit on the front row at the Apollo. Remember her? And she was the biggest champion, and she'd be praising the Lord and doing everything that she's doing in the front row. That's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to wave my hand and let you know I'm ready to come on stage.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to thank you once again, Mr. L.J. Reynolds, And everybody, we are going to slip out of here. We have to get ready for the second half of the True Purpose Development Show with Keeping It Real with the Doc and Momo B. This has just been an awesome interview with LJ Reynolds. We're going to hear some of his music on the break. We'll be right back after this.
Edition of the True Purpose Development Show, and I know that all of you are just full with excitement and laughter after that wonderful interview. Just coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to be getting right into Keeping It Real with the Doc and Momo B, and tonight we're going to talk about Why do you, quote, unquote, love your mate? Really, why do you love them? Is it because you are just codependent? Is it because you are just attracted to them because that's the type of person that you've always been attracted to? Are you just caught up in a cycle that you can't seem to get out of? Why are you really, quote, unquote, in love? And also, why does it not seem as though this relationship may or may not be working quite like how you like? And I'll say that, you know, last week we talked about how astrology plays a part in our life and relationships. Is it important or is it not? And we had a really, really, really great show. We had over 2,000 downloads on that show. And that tells me that people really liked it. They really want to talk about it. So we're going to take it a little further tonight. We're going to talk about relationships. But as far as Mr. L.J. Reynolds, I want everybody to get your tickets for March 29th, Opera House. It's going to be a battle between the Dramatics and the Temptations. And I think that's going to be a pretty good show. How about that? I'm sure you do, too. It's going to be really great. Detroit, we need some great news. I know it's been a lot of things going on in the news with regards to Detroit, but that's not so favorable, but we do have some great things that are going on in Detroit, and we have great people that are doing great things, just like Mr. L.J. Reynolds. So I want you to get your tickets today for it's a competition. They're going to, like, compete against each other, and we're going to decide who's better between the Dramatics and the Temptations, okay? I'm so looking forward to it. I'm going to be there front row and center. Yes, I am. I am so excited about it, too. So listen, this is a community radio show, and I'm actually in transition, as I always am. And I'm in transition to the next destination. And before I get stationary again and bring in my sister, Momo B, I want to talk a little bit before we get into the next segment and we get to the fun part. I wanted to comment on this show about what took place with our former mayor, Kwame Kilpatrick. I wanted to take a moment to just give you my two cents. I didn't put anything on my Facebook, and people were expecting that I would have some comments. And some people say that I give comments because, you know, like they're pies in the sky or something. And I'll take that. I'll take the pies in the sky. That's cool. However, please forgive me. I believe that it's important for all of us to be positive, to be very positive in this situation with regard to Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick. Okay, yes, Detroiters, some of you feel as though he deserves everything that he got. You feel as though if it wasn't for Kwame Kilpatrick, Detroit would be and some of you feel that there are some things that have not exactly been told, really come to surface as it should have, and this is his payback, et cetera, et cetera. There are a few things that are true in this scenario. And the few things that are true, and I'm going to have me a drink of water right now because it seems that I have something in my throat. This is where I'm a very authentic radio talk show host. And tonight I'm going to be authentic, and I'm going to take a drink of water. We need that. Okay. Two things that are true. First, Kwame Kilpatrick, at the end of the day, with what I always share, that the truth of us is what? We are spirits housed in a body. We are spirits having a human experience. The spirit that we are is one in unison, and that means that I am you, you are me. We are extensions of each other. So when we talk about Kwame, we're talking about us. If I talk about Kwame, I'm talking about an extension of me. okay? Yes, well, keep it real about what he did. I'm keeping it real. But I want to first bring out the truth. He's a human who made error. Have you not? You know, made the first person who had it cast the first stone. Remember that? That's one truth. That is one truth. The second truth is that Kwame is now in prison for a very long time. And his family and his children, I'm sure, are experiencing great suffering as a result. That's nothing to laugh or talk about. Just because he was on the scene, the big scene, doesn't mean that you are exempt from the cycles of life that takes place. If you talk about somebody and you are speaking on somebody, then you will create a revolving door for yourself, and you yourself will more than likely, because that's just the law of life, the law of the universe, you will experience and will be judged even greater. So you decide how you want to roll this thing out, how you want your movie to play. None of us are in the position to make any judgments on anybody. God forbid that any of us would suffer such persecution as he has suffered as a result of an error that who's to say he hasn't, he's already had to deal with and suffer with in himself. Keep your mouth off of people, off of Kwame. When you talk about the city of Detroit, you're talking about your own home. We have got to understand how we create error in our lives, and as we are all aiming to go to that next place and reach the top, some of you wonder why you can't reach it, but you just sat down and had coffee and talked the whole time about Kwame and all his situation, laughing, oh, girl, you know, he get what he get, and the dude, man, you know, I don't feel sorry for that, because he did, hello? And then you wonder why things don't shake the way they are to shake in your life. But I have great news for you, because even you that have talked about him, trust me, the reason that you talked about him and you were even put in the position that felt that you felt that you could do it is because it's also coming around for you to experience so that you can actually come to a greater experience of truth about you. So don't talk too fast. Keep your mouth off people, okay? Let's enjoy life. Let's give love. Do all things in love and wisdom. It's not wise to keep your mouth running about folks. It's really not, because you are creating a revolving door. And if you wonder why you can't get there, let's first take a look at yourself. What is it that you need to change? So my opinion on Mr. Kwame Kilpatrick, it's sad. It's an unfortunate state of affairs that he has experienced and what the city has, what we've had to endure as a result of his actions. It is sad. I don't like it, but I tell you one thing. I dare not put my mouth on it in any negative or derogatory way, because we are all living in a glass house. We have children. We have our own lives to live. I'm trying to move forward. I'm not trying to. Can you imagine standing in a mall, in a doorway, where the door is revolving constantly, and you're going around in a circle, and you're never entering the building? That's what you do when you're talking about people gossiping about situations instead of using the power that you have to transform a situation into something positive and something light. And on that note, I am walking into a spot where I am going to be able to hook up my equipment here, and we're going to be able to move on with our show, and we're going to bring Mobile B in. And I would love to hear from all of you. You can call in. Feel free to call in. I'd love to hear from you. It's awesome. Awesome. So that is my feel on the Kwame Kilpatrick case. And that's what I love truth. I love truth. And I love having Mr. L.J. Reynolds on tonight. It was absolutely fabulous. And my sister Momo B, she has called in. I want you to hold on, my sister. Your sister is getting it together. I was on the road tonight, have quite a bit going on, as you guys know, as the founder of the Global World Peace True Purpose Movement and our mission to help adults and children, companies and businesses and countries reach their highest potential. Well, our team has been working overtime, and we've been doing what we have to do to make it happen. One of my newest clients, Mr. Herb Strather, who is also the partner with Mr. L.J. Reynolds here, he's set out on a mission to re-engineer the city of Detroit, and there's some phenomenal things going on. A great workshop coming up just recently, just soon, on commercial real estate that we're going to get into, and you'll hear the commercial later. This is really awesome. Hold on, my sister. Your sister, she's here. She's waiting. Well, you know what? It's only 8:56. Come on, time, guys. Really on time. I love it. Okay. We're going to take a real brief break before we enter. You know how we do it. We have to start with our songs and do all that great stuff. We're going to take a little brief commercial break, and then we're going to be right back, and we're going to start with our music and fun. We'll be right back. All right, we're working it out. It's just about up and running. I thought I had it. I clicked a little button and nothing was going on. I'm so you guys are just absolutely awesome and patient with your host. And, you know, while we're waiting on this to get together, I also want you all to tune in to the new television show, Transforming Detroit. We have had great, great, great reviews, phenomenal reviews, inspirational stories. Lives have been changed as a result of that show. And I'm so very happy. One of the great things that I heard recently was a young boy who has terminal cancer. Parents watched the show. And as a result of them watching the show, they're actually getting their house redone, you know, like the new home makeovers, getting their house redone. Something he's always wanted. He's going to have it, even if it be his last wish. And just so many people are being blessed. As a matter of fact, the True Purpose team is going to be going to Zimbabwe this year as a result of that show to do a tour there. Just some great things are happening, and I want you to pay attention to it. And you can pay attention to TransformingDetroitTV.com as we will be introducing our shows on that spot online so that people can view it globally. All right, we're up and running. We're going to take a brief break, Momo. Just hold on, my sister. Hold on. I'm going to unmute your mic. I know you don't like breaks, but I have a commercial that I have to do, okay? Miss Momo. Sister. Are you listening,
break.
Sister?
I'm on the phone, so do your thing.
You said you almost see. Look, this is great. You know, we need to have cameras following us during this moment. Good. I have an opportunity to take a break, so I'm gonna put you on mute. And that's right. I can do a commercial. Okay, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Herb Strather, a real estate developer and a coach. Did you know a $100,000 house is selling today for $25,000? Did you know that you could leverage real estate 150% and actually take cash off the table at the time of closing? So wouldn't it make sense if you knew how to properly properly structure a real estate transaction that you could close it, own it, without having to take cash out of your own pocket, I invite you to my upcoming all-day workshop, which is March the 30th from 9:30 to 5:30, where you're going to learn how to actually find the asset, underwrite the asset, x-ray the asset, properly structure the assets for no money down, and to close the asset and put cash in your pocket. March the 30th, just go to StratherAcademy.com or call me 313-444-9691. 313-444-9691. See you Saturday.
Are you fit for the journey to true purpose? Well, knowing is more than half the battle. If you're looking for someone that can help you understand, develop, and bring to fruition your life's true purpose, you need to contact Dr. Princess Abelia, as she has traveled the world consulting and coaching people of all ages with great success. Dr. Princess Abelia, licensed practitioner and author of the book series Pregnant in the Spirit, is here to coach you so that you may live a totally happy and fulfilled life regardless of your circumstances. The choice is yours. Call today, 877-888-7979. Again, 877-888-7979 for your free consultation and opportunity to have the best life coach in the world.
Hey, you guys, this is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and I'm so happy and so proud to be a part of the World Peace True Purpose Movement. It's really something that the world needs right now because there's so many people that are downtrodden, and they don't believe in themselves anymore. They don't believe in government. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in anything out there, and they need to look to themselves. And so what you guys are doing with this movement is so special because it's very strong. It's very supportive of people, and it just reminds them of how strong they really are. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I can persevere. And the short time that we have on this planet, I can do something great with my life. And I'll be okay. You know, it's like a voice of reason out there that just says to them that everything's going to be all right. So I really am proud to be a part of this.
All right, well, we are back live, and you know what we're going to play? We're going to play Adore, and I think my sister, she's back live. It's 9 o'clock, so you know what time it is? It is time for Keeping It Real with the Doc and Mo B. And tonight, we're going to have a great time. We're going to talk about love again. What are you in love? Why do you think you're in love? Or are you really in love? Huh? How do you know? You're just caught up in a triangle of events. You're constantly with the same person over and over, same type of person over and over again. And it's kind of, you know, starting to be a damper on you, on your life. But you stick with them. You try to work it out. You want to stop the cycle? But we're going to talk about it tonight. And Momo V, I think she's on the road. Momo, you on the road still? Momo V, my sister.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I hear you too, but that music is too loud, so I'm not feeling that.
I'm turning it down, sister.
Well, thank
don't
you.
Don't start you tonight. At least don't start, because it's going to be computer love for computer love.
Oh, no. Oh, no. How are you this evening?
I am doing well. Did you hear that interview with L.J. Reynolds?
No, I'm sorry. I've been on the road. I just got in the house. I just literally walked in the door.
Oh. Yes,
I'm taking off my stuff now. My shoes, my bra, you know, all the stuff that women die to get out of once they walk in the door. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Well, that's good. That's good. So what did you, as Jay always says, what did you do productive today for the people?
No,
have you done
don't
anything
don't
for the people?
That. Don't, please. I hate when he says this, or I'm not going to like it when you say it. I don't even know why you're going there.
you think? What have you done for the people? What have you done for the people?
No, I
ain't
doing nothing for the people.
Well, girl, tonight we are going to talk about love. We're going to talk about, have you ever been in a cycle of, like, relationships of knowing people to constantly choose the same type of person, and the person that they keep choosing they don't even like. They're the same type of person, but it's always a situation that is something they were running from the last relationship. But then they stay with the person, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about why is that. I mean, and in relationships, do you really love or do you not? How can we stop this cycle of unhappiness in relationships? That's what I should have titled, but I didn't title it that. I didn't title it that. You have something? I'm serious. So what do you have to say? What do you have good to say tonight about our topic?
It's something that we do all the time. And it's just basically, I believe, comfort. We're just comfortable. That's it. We're just comfortable. And we're going to have to break that. It's not about being comfortable. It's about doing what we have to do to make it right.
Yeah, I agree. But that's the problem, though. I mean, I agree, but that's also an issue. Because most people don't know how to make it right. They don't even know what that means. You know what I mean? It's like, they don't even know what it means. Some of you are running from your father, but you chose your father in a relationship. Or running from your mother, and you chose your mother in a relationship. And that's really the issue. The issue is not understanding where you come from and not understanding you, which brings us also back to that stuff we were talking about last week for last about astrology. It's all in the same bucket. You have the astrology.
Oh, shoot.
I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there tonight, but I'm just saying. Well, I don't know. I may go there a little bit, because the thing is, it's like we have the human side of us is a composite of a few things, and that is the derivative of our parents. So you wonder why you're choosing your mother, choosing your father. The derivative of our parents, who are they? What are some of the things that are consistent in their lives? And guess what? Their astrological sign also plays a factor. Oh, my God, I know. So, and it's true, because that's a part of their makeup. It's so interesting. We're very complicated, beautiful people. But so it's very important for us to understand where we come from. Because 9 times out of 10, the person that you're choosing something that is very consistent within your family bloodline anyway. So as a human, we have our family bloodline, we have the astrological aspect of us, and we also have our parents, our mother and father, the things that are just in their entire blood, you know. And then the things that we create, too, is important. So the things that we create as a consistency, you know, things that we bring into our lives through our own energy and thoughts. Isn't that interesting? Are you there?
Very.
I just hope you didn't like get your pillow like you did last week and trying to sit in the bed to go to sleep on me. Is that what you're doing tonight? Just tell me. I just want to know, because last week that's what you told me. You know that show got over 2,000 downloads.
Excellent. I love it.
Oh yeah, it got over 2,000 downloads, and I know. Well, the topic it was good. People loved it, apparently. They loved it, and I want to thank you, because you know the ratings are just beautiful. They're beautiful. But I mean, teach me, girl. I mean, I know it sounds complicated. It kind of makes dating kind of boring. It's like, geez, if I have to know all of that, then what the hell? I don't even want to date.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to know. Okay.
Let me ask you this question: are you going to commercial, or are you just going to stay talking?
You said what now? What did you just say? Did you just cap on me and I didn't know about it? You know you're good for that. You just told me off.
No.
I didn't know what you just said. What did you just say?
No, I just wanted to know, were you going to a commercial or are you just going to keep talking? I thought you were playing the song or something before, and then all of a sudden you keep talking.
No, I'm talking.
Oh. We're talking. I just talked. How are you asking me? I'm already going to commercial. Are we talking? I'm big talking.
Maybe I had something to do. Maybe I had something I wanted to do. And I need a few minutes. I just walked in the house.
Oh! Okay. This is what we'll do then. You know what I'll do? I'll play the song that I was just playing.
Don't you have another song besides that? Don't you have another song?
Oh, okay. You want Let's Groove Tonight.
Oh, yeah, I like that song, yeah.
You like that song?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, everybody. Susta has to go to a break. She's doing one of my numbers. So, you only have 3 minutes. That one's only 3 minutes. Is that long enough? Or do we need another song?
Yeah, that's good.
That's good? Okay. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. We're going to play Let's Groove Tonight. And we'll be right back.
Motor City Hits presents the Battle of the Old School. You be the judge. Who's the hottest? The Dramatics? The Dramatics featuring L.J. Reynolds. Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review. Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review. Against the Dramatics featuring L.J. Reynolds. Girl, I give you everything. March 29th in the Opera House. Tickets on sale now at the Opera House box office and Ticketmaster. March 29th in the Opera House. The Battle of the Old School, live in the Detroit Opera House. You be the judge. Who's the hottest? The Dramatics? Or Dennis Edwards and the Temptations Review? Brought to you by Rollo Ford.
That is awesome. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm going to have so much fun at that concert. And as you guys have already heard, I might get my debut in front of everyone. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Kamala, are you done with your activities?
I'm sorry, Kamala, sister. I'm here.
You're here? Yes, yeah. Your accent really came out just now. I'm here. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So your idea on this subject matter. Okay. No, this is where I want to ask you something. In your relationships that you had, okay, do you see a cycle that you've been on? Do you have a certain pattern?
Well, yes, I do. And this is the thing with me. It's relationship. And jobs, I notice the same thing. I don't like change. Once I'm used to something, that's what I want to do, and that's where I want to stay. I'm used to something, and I don't want it to go away. Even if it's not really healthy for me, it's not the best position or place I'm supposed to be in my life, because I am used to it, because I know it, then that's where I want to be. And I say that to say all of this. I find myself going backwards. Like, out of my relationships, like, I could tell you this. The first 10 years of me dating, like in high school, the people I dated in high school, I find myself dating them again, like 10 years later. And the reason why I date them again is because I know them. Like, I'm so comfortable with them. Like, I know them. And people always say your ex is an ex for a reason. Whatever.
Right.
I understand that. However, I know when they're lying. I know when they're telling the truth. I know what they like. I know what they don't like. They know what I like and what I don't like, what please me and what don't please me. So it's so comfortable for me to be with them again because I know them and they know me. I don't like strangers. I don't. I can't deal with strangers. I can't deal with learning everything all over again. So that's why I go back. I recycle my relationships. That's what I do. Because I think, you know, we didn't work back in 1991. But maybe you've grown since then. I would hope that you've grown up and learned a few things here and there. And now in 2001, we can do it all over. And that's what I do. I recycle my relationships because I don't like new. I don't like strange. I don't like the unknown. And that's what I have a habit of doing all the time.
Wow.
I did that for years, like for real. Like I done had like four relationships over again.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Now are they now the relationships that you've had? You say like four relationships all over again. Are the issues that you found in one relationship or another? Do you find that even across the board, all of the people that you've been with possess the same issues? So are you not only recycling the relationship? Okay.
No, they were different. We broke up for different reasons in the past. And the truth be told, even when I recycled the relationship and went backwards, as some would say, we had different issues. We
had different issues in the present. Like, they were the same issues we had in the past. We had a whole bunch of different issues. So they did grow and develop and change. So I was right to say, yeah, they must have matured since then. Because when you were in high school, you know, you can't fault somebody for doing whatever they did in high school. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they had different issues. They still had issues, though, but it was different issues from then. And so, you know, we all got issues. So they can say the same thing about me. Like, I had issues. I mean, probably was different. Oh, well, you know, they was probably the same. Still, you know, more of you, I always got issues of my issues are always the same. So, hey. But the thing is that we grow, and yes, we did. But no, there was not the same issues. And no, they were not the same in each individual. They were different. The four of them were totally four different people. Like, they didn't have the same issues. They didn't have nothing in common that led me from one to the other. They were their own individual, and I just liked them for who they are.
And you know what? You know, it's interesting. With me, I haven't dated a whole lot of guys, but the serious relationships that I've had, and usually I have long-term relationships, I dealt with abuse in some form or fashion. And that wasn't cool, you know. And I was constantly being brought to realize, it was put in my face that I have to deal with something that was a cycle and tradition in my family, that after the third time of being in a relationship and realizing, well, if I think about it, the issue, which was abuse, that came and all, it was packaged differently each time, so I, you know, they didn't start off like that, you know. I had to look at what it was in me. And one thing I had to say was weakness, being weak and being, like, why, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what I would tell myself, and, you know, at the time I would tell myself always, you know, I'm sticking it out for the religious reasons, you know, and I'm going to save the person or something, I don't know, you know. That was my reasoning. But at the end of the day, I had to be truthful to myself and say, no, sister love, okay, you look at yourself in the mirror. Why didn't you knock him upside the head with the frying pan? What was your real deal, okay? Right. Fear and weakness, because I should have knocked it and nipped it in the bud in the beginning. What was your reasoning for someone taking advantage of you financially, or you sticking out in a relationship when you know good and well that you should have let it go? Which then I had to go and look at some of the traits of my associated astrological sign, where it talked about people of my like character staying in relationships longer than what they should and being known for that, not knowing when to stop. And so I had to look at that. I'm like, wow, okay. And that was something, remember what I was saying last week about the astrology. I mean, just looking at it and saying, okay, I can say, no, I'm not this, no, I'm not that, no, I'm not this, no, I'm not that. But then if I look at all of the dynamics and the things, the items that I'm given to really analyze my personal self, I have to say, wow, I guess there's a little truth in that, but now what am I going to do with that truth? You know what I mean? If it is what it is, so how can I change and bring about for me, for my life, a different result instead of saying, no, I'm not, and just totally denouncing my own truth, you know, at that time, you know? So I had to really just do a self-evaluation, you know, I sat down and I took time and I looked at my family, and I'm like, okay, now, what am I seeing here? Are people constantly getting divorced? Are people now? I didn't know anybody who had been abused, because my aunts and uncles had not shown me that. But guess what? I found out years later. My aunt was telling me something that my grandmother went through, which my grandmother was a fighter, so she liked to kill them when it happened to her. But she didn't take it sitting down. But when my aunt told me an incident that happened when she was a little girl, it was an identical, and I mean an identical scenario that I had experienced with my relationship. Identical. Then I had talked to my one of my ex's grandmother, and they were telling me some things. She was telling me something she had been through, and it was an identical scenario of my ex at the time. You see? So it's like it all life repeats itself. How your relationships, you repeat it, life repeats itself. And if we don't pay attention to it, it can get the best of us. And we'll sit up and, you know, like going around a circle, around a circle, around a circle, and we think we're just going, you know, we're like standing in a revolving door in a system that really is happening because of our ignorance and our unwillingness to look at us. It's like we're scared of it. You know, we just, you know. So I had to not be scared to and to stop living superficially, and then as my religious background had me, I mean, of course, anything that had to do with astrology or anything that had to do with really soul searching and understanding self, it was all demonic or something, you know, so we didn't do that, you know, dare not do that. So when I started breaking away from that and really searching and to understand life, I mean, all of the pieces that we've been given, how can we work with it? So, okay, I'm done. So that was me. I have to wake up and smell my own coffee, okay?
So let me ask you this question. Wouldn't it have been nice if your aunt had told you those stories that she told you before you went through it? Like, do you think it would change the things that you went through if you had known that stuff before you actually went through it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because let me tell you, because I've done my own soul searching, I set my children, I've been teaching them since they were little. My son was 9, my daughter was 4. And I set them down, and when I started understanding just the dynamics of the human aspect of ourselves, I sat down with my children, and I said, look, and I did a chart. I put mommy on this side, daddy on this side. And I had written down on each side common traits that I saw in my family that I knew were present, you know, and on both of our sides. And what I would teach them when they were little, I said, now these, let's call these things that I'm saying, for example, it may be weakness. So, you know, for example, you may look at a family and a particular family may be real prosperous financially, right? Then you may look at a family and like a history of abuse. And then you may look at a family, it's a history of alcoholics. It's like, it's just consistent. A history of divorce or a history of people not having kids when they want to, right? So I wrote all this stuff down, you know, whatever it was, as best I knew. And I put it in the face of my children. I said, now these situations, they don't have to take over you, but trust me, they are the frontliners in your life. They will be the frontliners that will come and try to come in different ways and tag it differently. And because of the energy of the root, how deep the root is in the family, it will seem so common to you. It will seem like it's just natural. You know what I mean? We'll say, oh, we have this so natural together. We're so this, but why are you natural? Are you natural because there's some adverse aspects of that person that are just common in your family? Why are you lying? So that's why I was teaching my children. And if I would have known and somebody was able to tell me and teach me about how to understand me, the whole all of me, yeah, of course, we all make different decisions. Oh, for sure. I'm conscious now. I've watched my daughter and my son in relationships, and I have watched the benefits of them knowing and us talking. And my daughter, you know, I have certain affirmations I let them. I say, look, before you be with somebody, I said, just repeat this after me. I say, just say, let no one that is not for me take my heart. Let my heart not fall for anyone unless it is the one for me. And I said, what you'll find, even if you have experiences with relationships, you will find that it won't trouble you so much with the breakup if you have a breakup. It'll be cool. You'll be cool with it, you know. It's not going to take, you know how you can have a breakup and it devastates you, you know. Can't function, can't eat, can't do this, can't do that.
Right. You'll
find
that it's the end of the world.
End of the world, girl. You like, oh, my God, you know. It won't be like that. It'll be different. and you'll be able to appreciate the experiences that you have. So, yeah, for sure if I would have known. But who knows? What generation has wisdom like that or even understands it? You know what I mean?
Yes, and that's what it's all about, understanding. When you break up with somebody or somebody breaks with you or they break your heart, if you, the hardest part of it all, the painful part of it all is you don't understand what happened. Like, why? Like, why do you do this? Why do you do this? It's not understanding. That's what hurts. You don't understand why this happened. You didn't see it coming. You didn't know, how can you do this to me? I don't understand what's going on.
Yes.
It will take you, it will drag you for miles just because you don't understand. But if you understand that, you know, sometimes things happen, you know, boys will be boys, you know, there's a chance that you're not going to be together forever. You know, we're just teenagers. It's not going to be like that. Or even if you're an adult. Like, now, I'm telling you, when I meet the next man in my life, it's going to be so different than any past relationship I ever had. Because I already understand. I know. Ain't nobody else going to like this. There is I can't even see or imagine me going through another, like a heartbreak, like breaking my heart for real. No, I don't see that. I mean, maybe if I go into a relationship with somebody and we break up, it may be a bit painful. I'm sorry, all of a sudden. It may be painful, I'm not going to say that, it won't be, but it may be painful, but I'm not going to be heartbroken. I'm not going to cry in my pillow, staying up all night long, crying about what happened. I'm not doing that.
I think it's because when we get older, it's different.
Yeah, we understand more things. It's more understanding. That's the whole understanding. Now we done lived a few things. We done been around this lot before. You know, I done ran this race already. I see the signs early. I know what to do, what to not do. I see what's going on. So I'm not getting blindsided by nothing. So that's why it's different. Once you know better, you do better. And, you know, like I said, you learn from experiences. So that's why I asked you if your aunt had told you about the situation and what happened in your grandmother's life, it would have been different because you would have already seen the signs. You already know, okay, all right, I remember this story, and here we go. And that's why I tried
to know what? You know what, Mama V? I'm going to tell you something, sister. I don't think her just telling me that story at that time, I don't think that would have been enough. And I'm going to tell you why. It wouldn't have been enough because I was too blind of who I was at that time. If anything, I would have been like, oh, that's not me, or that's not going to happen to me. And then if it happened, I would have been
you wouldn't appreciate the story when you heard it. It just would have been another story because, you know, everybody tells stories. It would have been another story that somebody was telling you. However, when you was going through it, it would have clicked in your head like, wow, this is not
right.
Because the purpose of somebody telling you a story is for there to be a point at the end of the story. The moral and point of the story is blah, 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 blah. So you heard the story, and then there would have been a point at the end, which would have been blah, 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 blah. So even if at the time you hear the story, you heard the point, even if you would have kept that to the back of your mind, but when you went through the real life situation, then it would have clicked. And you'd be like, okay, I remember this story. I remember this. My aunt went through this, my grandma went through this, and the moral of the story was, I can't let this man bring me down. This is not the life of me. I'm not getting this. I cannot strive in this life. I'm not going to get nowhere in this. This is not a place that I want to be. I'm going to get nowhere in this relationship, and this is not for me. Now, maybe you would have said that, or maybe not. I don't know, but at least you would have had something to fall back on.
Right.
But you weren't blind, you didn't have nothing, and you just thought that some people think, I'm not saying you thought that, but some people think that that's love, and that's how we get down. That's what we got to go through in life. Like, the ups and downs, this is a part of it. But it's not. It's so not.
Right.
But if you don't know, you don't know.
Right, right. And I, you know, what I also had to deal with too was this issue of weakness. It's like, here I was, and people would say to me, I don't get it, because I was the type, I was a no-nonsense, would never take anything from anybody, and they used to call me a heartbreaker. I would dump you in a minute, you know. But I had gotten into this situation that I wanted to make work in spite of all things, you know. And I'm going to tell you, the initial reason I wanted to make it work so bad was because my mom told me it wouldn't. My mom said at the time, who I was with reminded her of my father. And she cried about it. And I'm like, oh, please. I'm like, whatever. And she wouldn't educate me. She would just tell me what I shouldn't do. And then I'm like, what? They're pretty, my situation is different. I'm going to make it work. I'm going to have a family. This is what I want. I want the picket fence. And that could go also into the void of a father. So consciously, at that moment, taking precedence in my life where I had to feel that void of a man. It had to be there. You know, right. So there's so much to look at that drove my decision and blindness to, you know, stick this thing out that was not worth it. That was not worth it at all. And then in the future, when things got bad in other relationships, if it's not working, it's not working with me, you know. So, but I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would have made a difference, though. It definitely would have made a difference if somebody had talked to me and told and just sit down. That's what we got to do. Sit down with our kids, our youth, the nieces and nephews and our families and give them some wisdom. But nowadays, girl, you have children having children having children having children. I mean, and then the grandparents have no wisdom.
You are so right. It's such a big difference. Now, this is what I want to say, though. Back in the day when I was growing up, I'm going to tell you, my grandparents, everybody that was the wise ones, they told us what we needed to do and what we should do to, you know, to make a relationship work, to be in a relationship, to, you know, they was prepping us to be mothers, basically, the leaders of the families, you know, nurturers, you know, carers, providers. They wanted to see us do that, you know, care for a family, raise a family, be in a relationship, do what you got to do for your husband, all that stuff. That's how I was raised. You know, they didn't tell us the bad things. They didn't tell us the bad things. They went through bad things.
Yeah, they always tried to cover it.
Yes, they did. They hid that. I saw my mother go through some things with my father. She never talked about it. She never talked about the bad stuff. She only talked about, you know, you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, got to make it work, you know, whatever. Nobody talked about the bad stuff. Even though we saw some things here and there, they didn't want to talk about it, you know, because that was grown up